Hello and welcome back to another episode of Up the Poshcast. This week we are looking back on a Peterborough United win 1-0 over Burton. Not the prettiest performance, but in the end, it's the result that matters. This week we discuss Alex Bass's standout performance and whether our number one might have saved Fergie's job for another week. We talk about Burton and how they are easily the worst team in the league and why this will show over 46 games. We, of course, discussed the supporters and the frustration from some of the hosts over the support that was shown from the fan base at the game yesterday. Whether a formation change is still needed, is the 3/5 at the back still working? And another injury on the training ground. This time it's Jacob Mendy. He's heading back to Wrexham and looks like he is set for surgery. This week, I'm joined by Charlie, Lods and Max as we break it all down. But before we dive in, a massive thank you to our partner for this episode, Elite Lawn Maintenance. They are a local, independent, family-run lawn care company specialising in renovations and chemical treatments. They run treatment programmes within 30 miles of Peterborough and their products are up to 360 times stronger than what you'll find at your local garden centre. With over 10 years of experience maintaining football pitches, including Peterborough United's, they're Peterborough's leading independent lawn care company. Please contact Elite Lawn Maintenance today to arrange a free consultation and Up the Poshcast listeners will receive 25% off their first treatment. And with that, sit back, relax and enjoy this episode. Well, Charlie, run us through the game.
I mean, it's a win, and a win's a win, especially when you've not had many so far this season. I think everyone would agree that the most important thing from that game was the result. We just had to get 3 points on the board. It's a big 3 points in terms of, you know, the relegation battle we found ourselves in. Was the performance any good? Probably not. Did it deserve all the melodrama from people after the game slating it? And Fergie, maybe not, but we'll get on to that. But I think we just huffed and puffed, didn't we? And we've done that so much this season. There was, again, no lack of desire. I think the players worked really hard. But it just looked completely devoid of creativity again. Just no pattern of play, really. Like, the goal we scored was good quick thinking from Harry Leonard and Harney Mills to take a quick free kick. And then it was just like, he's crossed the ball. There's three players at the back post. And it's like a midfielder just running onto it and smashing it, which it felt like it was going to have to be a moment like that to win the game. It didn't look like we were going to score from like any neat combinations. Those seemed to have completely gone out of the window. I thought Burton were absolutely abysmal. They were terrible. The amount of times they got in behind us in that first half, or they could have done, and they just didn't do anything with it. They had a lot of the ball. They literally didn't use it. You can tell that they're a team that's really poorly suited to playing against like a low block, which is what we were for a lot of the game yesterday. They just couldn't break us down. Although by the sounds of things, that wasn't a tactical thing from us to defend so deep and to not really play out. I guess it just turned out that way because we just couldn't string a pass together. It was a frustrating game. And it was, I left feeling relieved more than anything, but also still concerned that, you know, this is not how we should be playing football. But a win is a win is a win, and we've got 3 points on the board.
Yeah, do you know what, Charlie? I think that's the important thing here is how many times this season have we said, we played really well, we deserve something from that game, and walked away with nothing. I think back to Huddersfield was probably one of the biggest sort of examples of that. And actually, yesterday was all about getting 3 points. We, of course, all of us as a pod predicted a lot more goals. So maybe we was disappointed from that. And maybe that was maybe why we left feeling a little bit downbeat, I would say. But ultimately, as we've said times before, where teams have beaten us by a goal margin, it's all about who walks away with those 3 points. And yesterday, that was us. I actually wasn't as disappointed with the performance as everybody else. I thought that actually in the first half, there was long periods where we had control of the ball and we dominated it. And yes, like you say, it wasn't quite as pretty, I would say, as we know as Peterborough United. But we held on to the ball. And actually, for me, the most important thing is, despite how poor we were in the first 20, 25 minutes, this season, we've done nothing but concede goals in periods like that. And to not concede a goal was actually really important for me. And it's all about growing into the game. When you're bottom of the league, it's all about growing into the game. And I think that the players did that. And that was sort of the crescendo of the game, was Archie Collins leathering one into the back of the net, which, you know, like we've asked for these things. I watched Bolton on Friday night, and to be 1-0 down in the 90th minute and then win the game 2-1, you want to experience limbs like that. That away end yesterday was carnage for a 1-0, going 1-0 up. And those are the moments that you live for, and those are the moments that actually bring everybody into this tight-knit unit that we need to be as we go forwards.
Yeah, sort of just echoing what everybody said. I'm happy with the win. I'm not overly happy with the performance, but ultimately for me, 3 points is 3 points. And in the position that we are now, I think we find ourselves, what, 2 points from getting out of this rot, or getting out of the relegation zone at least, or something along those lines. In terms of points, it's so important to go to a ground like Burton and win, regardless of how the performance was. It's difficult really to sort of analyse how that game went, because ultimately, you're right, Charlie, Burton did look really poor, but I think they probably had the better of us for large spells of the game. It's just they had no sort of clinicality to put the ball in the back of the net or score. And that's the biggest thing for me, is we've won because I think Burton's missed opportunities have let us off yesterday. And that's something that can't continue to happen. We've got to play Blackpool, bottom of the league Blackpool, on Saturday, arguably even a bigger game than today, because Blackpool is at home. And if we put that performance in, regardless of how poor Blackpool's squad is, and they're still managerless, it's going to be a really tough game to win. And we have to. It has to be a good performance. It has to be a good result. And after two weeks off practically in the international break, I would have expected some new patterns and a new togetherness. And I didn't feel that. I don't mind the resolute defending performances. I don't mind the gritty performances when we're going away to teams. I said that after Plymouth, but that was a really poor performance. But I am really happy with the win and the 3 points, and it was much needed.
It's a really strange one, because before the game and leading up to the game, there were Posh fans that genuinely were secretly hoping that we'd lose, so that Darren Ferguson would get sacked, and then, you know, we'd have the restart that a lot of fans are calling out for. That 1-0 win against Burton was probably the worst 1-0 that we could have got. And I can't help but feel there's a lot of Posh fans out there that wish we didn't win 1-0 in that way. I thought the performance was just diabolical, to be honest with you. The first half especially, it's probably the worst football I've seen us play. We were lucky that we weren't going in 2-0 down. I think the fact that we went in at half-time 0-0 was such a big thing for us, because it meant that Fergie could, you know, tell the players that they need to get their fucking acts together so they could get a result. And it's quite lucky they did. But there's only one reason why we won. Well, a couple of reasons why we won the game. Max has said one. Burton were absolutely diabolical. And like I said, the first half, they probably should have had a couple of goals. Archie Collins' goal was completely out of nowhere. It wasn't even a half chance, was it? He literally just ran onto a loose ball and smashed it in. And then Alex Bass was the other one. I think we have to praise him. If he didn't make the saves he did in the first half, I don't think we would be sitting here talking about a win or a draw. Honestly, the way I see it is that Alex Bass has saved Darren Ferguson. If he didn't put the performance in he did yesterday, we concede a goal, we don't win, and that's the end of Darren Ferguson. But because he's got a win, and I'm going to say it, it's a lucky win. I think Alex Bass has saved Darren Ferguson this weekend.
Yeah, I think a lot of the issues to do with the game and the way people are assessing the performance is to do with framing as well, because we really haven't like had a good season so far. That 1-0 win yesterday is just a continuation of a bad season, whereas actually, if we'd been in and around the playoffs. We've been doing well. You know, back in 2023 to 24, we had loads of little shitty 1-0 wins like that away from home in games completely devoid of quality. You know, I'm thinking about like Port Vale away when we won 1-0. I'm thinking about like Cambridge away when we won 1-0. And like we praised the team massively back then for grinding it out. And I think it's just because we've had to grind the entire season out so far that people aren't actually as open to it as they would be, because actually it was a game completely devoid of quality. Like there was no quality on show from either team, and we found dug deep and we found a moment of quality, and we defended decently well with 10 men for a long period of time, and we put our bodies on the line. And I just thought it wasn't like as shocking a performance as people are saying it was, because even though there was literally no quality in our ranks, that was just the game. And sometimes you get games like that, especially away from home, at a tight pitch in League One. It happens. It just happens.
Look, I don't mind backs to the walls performances. And if we were going to compare it to Plymouth, which is a game that I praised our performance after we came out of that with a 1-0 win, I think it was just complete opposite side of the scale, to be honest with you. I think the chances that we conceded was just lucky that we didn't concede a goal, because we were all over the place defensively in that first half. It wasn't backs to the wall. They weren't defending well. Like I said, Alex Bass was the reason why we didn't concede. I thought Plymouth were really good as a unit. And Charlie, yeah, you're right. When we went down to 10 men, we actually defended quite well. It's probably the best we looked tactically all game was when we only had 10 men. And I don't know if that's because the players knew what they were doing. But this isn't Plymouth. This is Burton Albion, who statistically should be the worst team in the league. And we watched it yesterday. We all said that is the worst team that we've played this season. We've had a 2-week break and we've gone into playing Burton away and played like that. Even though we've come out of a win, and yeah, you might say it was backs to the wall and we defended well, but that's as good as it gets in terms of getting a win. Burton away, bottom of the league clash after a 2-week break to work on it. And that's the performance that we managed to put on display. I just can't get behind praising them. There's a few moments that we can praise, but the overall performance, I can't see any positives in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to defend the performance as in say it was a good performance. I think it's more just I'm defending the sort of the result and the fact that it happens sometimes. And I do agree with you, Lords. Alex Bass was so pivotal to that win yesterday. I just love a dominant goalkeeper. Like, it's so refreshing to see a goalkeeper who's just going to come out and claim everything, who's just so confident. I know he's probably had his confidence knocked in recent weeks. You know, the Lincoln game was his worst game for us. He made some errors. I just think he's really good. And the only reason he's been making errors, I guess, recently is because of how much time he spent under pressure and under the cosh. I think yesterday he stood up in some massive moments and was counted. He did the same against Plymouth. He's just like those two games, he should not have kept clean sheets. Like, they were both, he had to do a lot right to keep clean sheets in those games. He did, made some great saves from one-on-ones in the first half. And then it was just his catching that was most impressive to me. I think his kicking still does leave a bit to be desired, but also he's not like, the whole point is we bought him because he's not a long kicking goalkeeper. He's a goalkeeper who can really play out well with his feet when he's playing, you know, with the centre backs. Like, he's not a goalkeeper that's used to just whacking the ball down the middle of the pitch. And that's what he's been asked to do. And also, I was looking yesterday and like, okay, his distribution wasn't great, but it's not as if like there was a guy who was in miles of space who he could have passed it to and he was, you know, making bad decisions. He wasn't putting it quite in the right area, but also like he didn't have options on the counter-attack really to like try and find. So like, yes, he could have been a bit better with his distribution, but to be honest, it felt like all the players wanted was to get the ball away from our goal and they weren't actually trying to like launch anything. So yeah. I think Alex Bass, fantastic performance. I think when we get back to our more passing style, which we will at some point, I think he will be a very good goalkeeper for us, and his on the ball skills will show. But right now, just off the ball, the catching, the saving, it's all just top tier. And also the leadership as well. He was giving the players an absolute bollocking in that first half, deservedly so, on several occasions, proper just screaming at them to switch on. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Johnny, you said it there about the kicking. I think my only concern is just sort of where his starting position is when he kicks the ball, is that it always feels like these balls are going right out to the touchline. And he's starting very wide out when he's got the ball at feet and we're in open play. And that's my semi-issue with it. And also when he's got the ball in his hand and he's kicking it long, is that if he was to just start a little bit more centrally, these kicks don't look as bad as they appear to be, because he's giving himself such a fine margin for error when he's kicking. And equally, like we always say, how we've been screaming out for a goalkeeper like Alex Bass that just stops everything that comes his way, every ball into the box. And like we mentioned before, this was maybe a little bit on Burton as well, because their two wing backs, their crossing was absolutely diabolical yesterday. If you're a goalkeeper and you're watching a ball come into the box, that you didn't even need to hesitate. You knew, right, that's coming straight to me. I'm moving, I'm catching it. And it's the basics, isn't it, that we've seen time and time again Peterborough United goalkeepers not be able to do. And he does those basics. He stops a shot. There was one down the far end where it looked like the ball was going to go in, and he stopped it on the line. And like you say, Charlie, the catching and everything like that, is that we have to be grateful that when everybody else appears to be struggling on the football pitch to play the tactics that Fergie set up. And that's another thing as well, is that actually you mentioned obviously the long kicking. That's clearly not what Fergie set them up to do yesterday. That's just not the way that we play, is it? But this is where we've asked before for in-game management of players. Play the game that's in front of you rather than what you've learned in the classroom or on the training ground for the week beforehand, or even the 2 weeks beforehand. The players are there. They're living it. I think that they did a good job, and Bass summed that up perfectly in that he was our man of the match yesterday.
Yeah, I gave Bass a 7.5 out of 10, and I actually wish I gave him an 8. I think with hindsight, his performance in isolation was what you expect from a goalkeeper. It's like I said, I think he was the reason why we didn't lose. Regarding his kicking, I don't think it was as bad as what people are making out. Obviously, it's a weakness in his game, but his long goal kicks were finding the area where Harry Leonard was, which I was quite grateful for. And yeah, Fergie might not have told him to play long goal kicks, but we were really struggling to get the ball out of our third, weren't we, yesterday in that first half especially. So I can kind of forgive him for wanting to try and get the ball up there. And if Harry Leonard was a 6'5", big unit target man, we probably would have kept possession a few more times. The one thing that I probably would mark Bats down for yesterday was just his communication with George Nevitt especially. There was a few times where the ball got in behind and they both sort of hesitated, that neither of them knew which one was coming out. And we got away with it because there was times where Bass managed to get out to the ball quick enough to be able to save it. But I think if we did that in other games, that there might be a chance that we concede because Nevitt can't get to the ball quick enough. And Bass hasn't basically communicated to Nevitt what he plans to do or what he expects Nevitt to do. And it's that just moment of hesitation sometimes that you just... We've had in the past the calamity errors. We got away with it yesterday, but he needs to work on the communication with his back line, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I'm going to praise a player with a bit of caution, because I think outfield, after Alex Bass, there's not a huge amount of like creditable performances. But I actually was really pleased with Harley Mills yesterday, and I'll tell you why. I think, first of all, starting a league game for the first time in quite a while. I was trying to think about earlier about when was the last time he started, and it was really maybe Exeter, something like that, like back in August. Certainly not since, you know, the new system. And he's been playing under 21s football. He must be really disappointed because he signed a contract in the summer and he felt like, you know, going into the season, it was sort of his season. Like, it felt like he was one of the main characters and he's sort of not had the luck he wanted. But I actually thought he did really well when he came in yesterday. I thought, obviously, he nearly messed up the chance that created the goal, but I actually also think Lisby was just blindly running offside, and I think Mills knew that. So people were frustrated at Mills for not passing it through. I think Lisby would have been offside. Mills flicked it to the back post. It wasn't the best of crosses. Like, I would have liked to see a bit more whip so that one of those players could have headed it towards goal, but he just sort of stood it up to that back post, didn't he, and then got recycled. And I actually thought, in terms of attacking quality, he was one of our better players. He got forward. I mentioned already earlier in the pod the quick thinking from him and Harry Leonard, which I rated. You know, we won a free kick and instantly Mills was down that left-hand side, absolutely sprinting into open space. Obviously, Mendy's injured now, but Mendy's been so bad for the last couple of weeks. And I've been calling for Harley Mills, and I was really pleased to see him in the team. When the lineup came out, I thought this is a big opportunity, and I wouldn't say he wasted that opportunity. I think he will keep his spot in the lineup for next week. And then on the other side, obviously, you had Peter Chiosa, who, I don't know if you've seen our player ratings yet, but they will cause some division over Peter Chiosa. So they did. We had a massive bust up in the group chat last night about Chiosa. So I think Dell rated him a 3. And then I think some other people rated him a 7. I put him at a 5. I thought his performance was below average. I thought he was not the Peter Chiosa we come to expect. I think, especially in the first half, he was losing his man at the back post constantly. Like, it was just incessant, just inability to mark a footballer, which was frustrating. He obviously played a hand in the goal, but other than that, I also thought attacking-wise, his contribution was quite poor. I think he did not bomb forward with his usual ferocity, whether that was a tactical thing or I'm not sure, but he just, there was so much space out on the right hand side, and I was just wanting Peter Chiosa to just glide into that space and give us a wide option. And it felt like a lot of the time there was just nobody out there. And I just felt like his performance was not the best. He had a couple of weird moments where he tried to like scoop stuff with back heels away from like pressure and just gave it straight back to them. He just wasn't, he was a bit all over the place. That said, he was his usual passionate self, but he just lacked quality at both ends for me.
Yeah, I think Chiosa's main quality on the pitch yesterday was leadership, especially when we went down to 10. He was constantly in the ears of the back four, constantly in the ears of the midfield, shouting, making sure players went down when they needed to, went off for treatment to waste time, that sort of thing. And that's something that I find really important with Peter Chiosa, is that his leadership qualities are still there and still obvious to people. But there was a challenge right at the end that George Nevitt's unfortunately been turned for pace. And the forward play is basically one-on-one. I mean, I didn't think anyone was going to get it. To me, from where I was standing, it looked like 1-1. It was a guaranteed goal. And Chiosa made a fantastic tackle to stop that from happening and to maintain that clean sheet. Now, when we talk about moments that give us 3 points, I'm going to bring up Archie Collins later, I'm sure, because he got my highest rating. But when we talk about moments that bring us 3 points, that was as important as the goal, which he had a hand to play in. So we say he can have an average performance. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think he had an above average performance, because not only has he saved us from potentially conceding a goal, but he's also helped us score one, which is exactly what you want. And yes, maybe he wasn't as fluent going forward. And yes, maybe he wasn't as fluent defending. But I think ultimately he did his job fine. We've walked out of the game with a clean sheet. We've scored a goal. We've got 3 points, and he's had a part to play at both ends. So I don't know really what more we could ask for Peter Chiosa in that regard.
There was 2 sides of Peter Chiosa yesterday. And whilst I do agree with some of the criticisms, I think that his first half performance was largely poor. Max, you obviously mentioned his leadership. Actually, I think that he was very quick to criticise other players when it was probably his own fault and his poor positioning, like Charlie mentioned, that was the issue when the balls were coming into the box in the first half. But I don't think that, like Charlie said, Dell gave Chiosa a 3, and all we were asking of him was to justify how a player that played 90 minutes yesterday could have got a 3 rating that contributed to the goal, saved the goal, and was part of a defence that kept a clean sheet. I think in the second half, of course, it's difficult. It's down the other end of the pitch. But like you say, is that he has potentially helped us to win the game. I think the one issue that I have with Peter Chiosso is that I actually don't think that he's a wing back. I think that he is very much a right back. And people say, well, he's not doing this bombing forwards and he's not carrying the ball. Yeah, you're right. But when we saw the best of Peter Chiosso, he had Kwame Poku in front of him. His runs, and I think I said this to somebody at halftime, his runs in that team were basically a dummy run so that he took a defender with him so that Poku was then, rather than being 2-on-1, he was then 1v1. In this wing-back formation, we simply don't have that winger that's there that all he needs to do is just make a run as if he's going to take the ball, and maybe he will sometimes. And I think that it all stems back to the system and the defensive system that we're playing, is that if he were to have somebody like Declan Frith in front of him or Kean Hayes in front of him, even somebody like Lisby playing on the wing, all he needs to do is make a dummy run around the outside and then he looks a lot better than he does. The issue is that we are essentially using him to be our attacking threat. And I don't think that he's that player. I think that similar to Mendy, I don't think that Mendy's a left wing back either. I think that those two, they are your very traditional left back and right back. And unfortunately, they're being used in a system that just simply isn't fit for them.
I sort of agree with what Charlie was saying, where we were really struggling to play the ball out from the centre-backs. It just felt like every time the centre-backs got the ball, they were trying to play the ball to someone. The midfielders were too close to them and the strikers were too far away from them. And it's kind of like you want the wing-backs to be in that space. Like, yeah, okay, they'll be on the wings. But it just felt like there was a lot of time where we were sort of looking to play the ball onto the wings and we ended up just sort of punting it to the halfway line and giving the ball straight back to Burton again. Harley Mills had the ball at one point and just blindly punted the ball down the line as if he had a winger in front of him. I don't know if he just in that brief moment forgot that we don't play with wingers anymore. And it just, I think it just sort of sums up that all the formation changes and the players sort of not being used to where everyone is on the pitch. I think the centre backs were quite lucky. They got away with a lot. There was a lot of errors they made where Burton got in behind, like I spoke about earlier. Defensively, we could have been a lot better, definitely. But I think the main issue with the defenders that I have yesterday was just their ball playing ability. They just seemed to punt the ball straight back to Burton every single time they got it.
Yeah, I agree with that, Lods. I think there were some really bad moments at the back. Don't get me wrong. I think the clean sheet is a good thing. It was very bodies on the line, but yeah, there were some calamitous moments. And obviously we had the red card as well, which I've watched it back quite a few times. And I think obviously it's a terrible pass from Harry Leonard, like just complete switch off where he just sort of lazily just puts it into midfield. Like, you don't just pass into the middle. If you're going to pass into the middle of the pitch like that, it has to be quick and it has to be accurate. And he just sort of like lazily hooked it into the middle of the pitch. And then obviously Burton have snapped onto it and ran at Tom Lees. And it's like, I don't think he needed to make the challenge when he did. He had enough people behind him, although I'm not sure he would have known that. But there were, you know, Nevitt, Tom O'Connor, I think Chiosso and Mills may have been back in as well. So he probably didn't need to make that challenge. It wasn't as if it was like denial of a clear goal scoring opportunity or he just was caught a bit off guard. But he was completely sold out by Harry Leonard. There's no doubt of that. He's just the complete basics footballer, isn't he? He's such a clogger. Like, he's at the back. He's a stopgap until Sam Hughes comes back. He's done all the basics well. He's been a good servant since he's joined. I'm very surprised at how fit he's got himself to the point where, look, he looks like he could have played 90. If he hadn't obviously been sent for an early shower. He's played a lot of a bigger role than I was expecting him to be honest. I thought he'd be like maybe 15-minute spells at the end of games and, you know, on the training ground improving Nevitt, but he's a consistent starter for us now. obviously we're going to miss him next week against Blackpool, which is very frustrating. We adapted well. What I would say is we adapted well at the back. I thought actually Dave Akagbue came on and did well in defence. I thought Nevitt and Tom O'Connor were quite poor on the ball and made a couple of individual errors each. But I thought in terms of their defending, when they got backs to the wall in the 6-yard box and in the 18-yard box, they did well. So I can't criticise the centre-backs too much. I thought, you know, you get a clean sheet, that's basically job done, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right, Charlie. But I think you're also right in that Nevitt and O'Connor were both not poor, but off their usual standard yesterday. And I actually think that that did show, particularly when it sort of looked like we switched to a more of a four at the back when we were trying to go forwards and Mills stepped up into left midfield and Tom O'Connor was playing at left back, let's call it. I think that actually as well, at the same time, the referee had a massive impact on the game yesterday. How we had three players and two of our centre-backs on bookings at half-time, and none of the Purton players, having made similar challenges, were on booking. So I think, like you say, is that once you're booked as a centre-back, it's a tightrope, essentially, isn't it? And you don't want to put a foot wrong, and maybe they started to overthink yesterday. I think that Nevitt, we didn't see those driving runs that he's made or those midfield splitting passes, which is maybe why he looked slightly poorer. But like you said, is that ultimately we go back to what Fergie said in his post-match, is that that's not what they've worked on. And we were making one pass when we should have been making two or three. So the players have done what we've previously asked. They've taken what's into account on the game and they have done it. If I think about then moving forwards into the midfield, I'm sure that we need to talk about Archie Collins. It was another one of those performances where I don't want to talk too much on it because I think he had a massive impact on the game in terms of in the midfield. But you didn't really see him, and then he pops up and he does what I don't think I've ever seen Archie Collins kick a football like that. Whenever you watch him in the shooting drills, they are very much tame efforts. Whenever we've seen him shoot. His goals, I think, he scored against Fleetwood years back and it sort of like dribbled into the corner. Obviously, last year's Burton one, it wasn't really a massive hit, and MK Dons in pre-season. None of these are bullets. That one yesterday was a bullet, and my goodness, was I grateful that ball hit the back of the net, because normally, no doubt about it, that goes into Rose Ed.
Yeah, we've been crying out for Archie Collins to do something in the final third with impact, haven't we? We always, when we talk about Archie Collins, talk about how he affects the game and how it's so sort of hidden within the performance that you can't point to a specific game where he's won us the game or, you know, had a real impact. But that was it yesterday, wasn't it? I don't know what came over him. That loose ball that you spoke about Kyoso's assist earlier, Max. There was no way that he was intending to get that to Archie Collins and lay it off for that. He was trying to keep possession, which he did well. But I think it was Keller that was behind him and he wouldn't have shot. You're quite right. He would have just kept possession, maybe laid it out to the wing. I don't know what came over Archie Collins that thought, nah, sod this, I'm having this, running onto it. And I'll call it by its correct name. Absolutely thunderbastarded it into the goal. Like Ashley said, we've never seen Archie Collins hit a ball like that before. So, yeah, really good. When he goes at the end of the season and we talk about the games where we're really grateful he was on the pitch, this, I think, should be well up there now. I actually felt that when you take the goal away, I think him and Woods, I think, were both the midfielders that I felt didn't do a lot wrong. I don't think they had great games. Obviously, we scored Archie a little bit higher because of the goal. But I felt like where the overall performance was crap, I don't think Woods or Collins did a lot wrong. And one thing I do like about Ben Woods is his set-piece deliveries. I think we actually looked a threat from corners. Admittedly, we didn't really get the ball near the goal. But I think all of his crosses from the corners and the free kicks were good crosses that easily could have been a goal if, you know, we had a bit more dominance in the air. So I was quite grateful for both of them being on the pitch. For a team that didn't put in a great performance overall, I think both of them probably can't be too disappointed with their performances.
Oh, I think I disagree with you on that, Lord. So I thought Ben Woods was absolutely awful yesterday. Like, I was just looking at the stats. In terms of defensively, Garbutt and Collins both won 100% of their ground duels in the game, which is actually really impressive. Woods only won 50% and only 25% of his aerial duels to Garbutt 67% and Collins 60%. Woods only had one pass into the final third. Garbutt had 8, Collins had 4. You know, you talk about his crossing, he only had one accurate cross, 33% success rate and one accurate long ball. You know, in terms of FOTMOB ratings, Collins and Garbutt were both, you know, 8s and 8.1s and Woods was down at like a 6.4. I just thought his performance was really just, he didn't make any impact on the game. And I struggle to see what his role is in this midfield with alongside Collins and Garbutt. He doesn't feel like he's the defensive one because his defensive numbers aren't good. But he's also, I didn't really feel like he impacted the game in an attacking sense either. I just thought he was, it was a completely anonymous performance from Ben Woods. And I wanted Keller to start the game. I said that on Countdown to Kickoff, and I stand by that. I think we really missed his energy in midfield. I think, especially how stale the game was, I think his running and his legs on that small pitch, which meant he could have literally covered every blade of grass, would have been really good. I actually think he's been, you know, like his, the midfield's looked best this season when it's been Keller, Collins and Garbutt. And I just think Ben Woods, I don't understand it because my understanding was that Ben Woods was the Archie Collins replacement. And that if, you know, Ben Woods was going to come into the team, it would be in place of Archie Collins. And I understand if Fergie thinks, you know, Ben Woods is so good that he needs to start, then fair enough. But I just think he's not, like, Keller plays a very unique role in terms of the way he presses, the way he puts himself about. And Garbutt and Collins have their own roles. And it feels like Ben Woods just hasn't got a part to play in this midfield right now. I'd drop him next week. I actually thought his performance was just poor.
Yeah, you know what? Thinking about it, I think Ben Woods played a similar role to what Archie Collins normally plays yesterday. And that's probably why stats don't look good, especially from an attacking sense. And the reason why I thought their performance was okay was because we really struggled to play the ball out. And I think both of them two still look comfortable in possession. When they got the ball, I didn't feel like we were going to lose it. They took their time. They waited for some runs to be made, some space to open up. And it probably doesn't look good when you've got two midfielders doing that, as well as three centre-backs and two wing-backs that aren't progressing. And that's probably why the overall performance looks so bad. I do agree that Keller probably would have changed it up a bit. So I wouldn't say it was Ben Woods' performance individually that was the issue. I think it's perhaps that both him and Collins were both playing at the same time. However, I would have had Brandon Keller playing instead of Matt Garbutt, who I actually didn't think was that good. I agree that he's one of our better players. I agree the first few games that he played for us were just different level. And we all said, didn't we, that he's probably championship level. But he's just spent 2 weeks on international duty. Where I said earlier, we had 2 weeks to work on this game. That's without Matty Garbutt being there. And I don't think Keller's done enough to be dropped from the team. I understand why he's not playing, because he's a young player and we need to give him a break. But where Garbutt has, I don't know how tired he is from playing these international games and from flying. I know, I think he was only playing in Europe, wasn't he? He wasn't exactly playing in New Zealand. But I just feel like perhaps we should have started Garbutt on the bench and played Keller from the beginning. I don't think he, let's be honest, he's the one that should be linking the midfield to the attack, isn't he? Where we talk about this big space that opens up that we can't get the ball into, that is Matty Garbutt's role. He should be the one that progresses the ball into that space. He should be the one that's looking to get forward every time he gets the ball. And I think the last few games, he's failed to do that. And I think yesterday was probably the worst performance he's had. I know Bolton, he wasn't great, but I think he was even worse yesterday, to be honest with you.
Ooh, I think that's, again, quite harsh on Matty Garbutt. I'm not just disagreeing with you, Lods, for the sake of it, but I think his stats yesterday, obviously, you know, football, you know, is played on a pitch, not paper. I get that. But his stats, you know, highest pass completion of any of the midfielders, 4 passes into the final third. He, in terms of like defensively, was outstanding. 8 out of 8 ground duels won. I mean, that is just complete dominance, isn't it? 67% of aerial duels won. He made clearances, blocks, six recoveries, 100% dribble success rate. Like, he was carrying the ball forward a lot for us. And I actually think he suffered by Peter Kiyoso not having a best game, because there were lots of times where he carried the ball out to the right and he could have kicked, like, played it down the right-hand side and there was nobody to play it to. I actually thought he was quite good. And I think Garber is the definition of undroppable in this team, because he literally is our best player by, like, such a long way. Technically, he is so gifted, and physically as well. He's, like, one of the most cut out for men's football, alongside, like, Bass, maybe. He is... If he says he can play, he's playing for me, regardless of whether, you know, we think he might need a break or not. And also, it's not as if he had to get, like, hooked after, like, 60 minutes because he was blowing. He nearly played a full 90. He got taken off on 87. And that was only, I think, because of the need for an extra defender on the pitch. I thought Garbutt was good. And I think he's always good, really. Like, his poor games are still very good games for most of the other players in our team. And I would never drop him.
I think a lot of these players have fallen victim to the system. And I think Leonard is one of those players that have fallen victim to the system. And I think Leonard would play better as a lone striker. You look at Leonard's, the best parts of Leonard's game, and that's with his back to goal. But the problem is, when we've got no runners from the wing backs, very, very often anyway, we've got no runners that run beyond him in midfield. And we've got Jimmy J. Morgan, who doesn't even really seem to run beyond the last man and run in behind very often, or at least to make a clever run that allows Leonard to pick him out. Really, for me, Leonard wants to be passing back to a Garbutt or a Woods to play forward to a Jimmy J. Morgan or a Kiyoso who's making the run. We don't see any of that. Whereas in a back four, I think we'd see that with wingers. And that's the biggest thing for me, is that I think Leonard actually really struggles in this system. And with his back to goal, which is what he's so good at, there's nobody to lay off to. There's nobody to pick the pass out and try and progress the ball forward and get into a position where we can score a goal. And that's my biggest thing with Leonard, is we spent a lot of money on him, and it feels like in this system, he's a bit of a waste. And that's something that upsets me a little bit, because actually, apart from the pass that sold Lees, I thought he was actually quite good yesterday. Again, he's a nuisance. And what I like about Leonard as well is he's a bit of a shithouse, isn't he? You know, he's wound the goalkeeper up on a few occasions. He's gotten in amongst it with the centre-backs to get in their heads a bit. He slows the game down fantastically. It's a lot. He looks seasoned for somebody who's, again, is quite young and has a long way to go in his career. And we've tied him down on a big deal and a big contract. And I think he is going to be a good signing and he is going to come good. But I think this system is killing a lot of these players at the moment. And we might defend resolutely. We might be able to grind out 1-0 wins. But you look at the goals that we scored in these two 1-0 wins. You're talking Plymouth and yesterday. I mean, they aren't going to come every week. It's not like it was fantastic build-up play really for either of them, although the Plymouth more so than the other one. Than yesterday. But we need to figure something out fast, because I think we could score more goals if we switched the back four, but then do we give up defending without Sam Hughes?
Do you know what? I think my issue with a potential change to a singular striker is that when we come up against teams like Burton that play with three centre-backs, I just think that Harry Leonard is just going to get absolutely nothing from those three. He's essentially going to be 3v1, isn't he? Because our wingers are going to be out wide and they're going to be occupied by the left wing back and right wing back of the opposition. That would be my only concern, is that. And it was a very much a Jekyll and Hyde performance from Harry Leonard yesterday. He won the free kick, didn't he? He put the ball down and played it onto Harley Mills, and then, you know, ball's in the back of the net. And then you see the other side and he puts us under ridiculous pressure by selling his teammates short. And it's a difficult one, because you can see that he's still very frustrated that he's not managed to get the goal. I don't think he's had the chances still. And I don't think that the teamwork with Jimmy J. Morgan was quite there yesterday. He needs a goal. And once he gets that, hopefully we will see what he's going to bring to us, because he was a good striker at Blackburn. We've just not seen that yet.
Yeah, I think finally, just mentioning Lisby, I thought he had a good impact when he came on. He runs so hard for the team. And you know what? Sometimes player ratings, you've got to just have a little bit of fun. And I gave Lisby like an extra 0.5 on his score purely for his after the game antics, where he ran over to the Burton Terrace, he shushed their fans, and then when they sort of like retaliated, and then the Burton goalkeeper sort of ran up to him and grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, and he just sort of shoulder barged him away and then ran towards our fans and gave it a big fist bump. And I was like, respect, you know, it was that kind of game. It was fiery. It deserved a little bit of a fiery ending. Those fans in that terrace have been giving Lisby a bit of shit because he went down with a head injury after he got like knocked out by someone in the middle of the pitch. And he backed it up. We won the game. He gave it back. Fair play to him. And that was a quite entertaining watch at the end of the game.
Yeah. You mentioned it there, Charlie, when he went down with that head injury and the referee immediately called on the physio to come and treat Lisby. I think that was actually quite frustrating at the time, and it felt like we hadn't quite learned from, where was it, Bolton potentially, where somebody else went down and got injured, is that that was after Tom Lees had been sent off. We're already down to 10 men. The last thing we need is a forced removal of a player for the 30 seconds that it is because of a head injury. Like you say, it wasn't a head injury. We all saw it. It was probably chest at best. If he gets up and doesn't give the ref the chance to bring the physio on, then he's still on the pitch. And although nothing came from it, and it's a very much a what-if statement, it was disappointing to see that sort of like the play acting to try and see how we sort of moved it on. I think just to sort of finish up, obviously we saw JD, Dave was mentioned earlier as well. They both came on and did their jobs. You can't really ask for much more. But the difficult thing was is that it felt like we were playing like six defenders at one point, and it very much sort of feels like we were getting to the end of the game and it was very much just like we just need to hold on. And you can see sort of why people were getting frustrated. But obviously the first half of the game was poor, let's say. And it's a difficult one, isn't it? The fans yesterday, they weren't fantastic. I passed comment in. I said, there's no point bringing 900 if we're just going to sort of not back the team. And regularly we get the criticism that, well, all you do is slag the players off, blah, blah, blah. Yes, you're right. We aren't very complimentary of the players when they're poor, but we are complimentary when they're good. But for the 90 minutes that they're on the pitch or 100 minutes that they're on the pitch, they absolutely deserve the backing of the fans. And if you're going to make chants about how they've got the ball, they haven't got the ball, asking Fergie to sort it out, that doesn't sit right with me, unfortunately. I think that whenever you're in the ground and the ball is on the pitch and the clock is running, I think that you should be doing everything that you possibly should to support the team. And I don't think that the fan base did that yesterday.
I'm sort of on the fence with this one. I personally didn't join in. And I, whilst it was going on, I sort of stood there and thought, this is like one of the lowest points you can be as a fan, isn't it? It's just hating the football so much that you feel the need to chant these songs. But then at the same time, I'm thinking if the fans want Fergie out, the majority of fans want Fergie out, which is the case, how do they let Darren know that they're really not enjoying this? Where obviously you get them on social media, but we know that Darren just takes that with a pinch of salt, and rightly so. But these are the travelling fans that are watching the game. These are the ones that actually go every week that are singing this. So was that their way of saying, we're fed up with this, we don't want it anymore, you need to get rid of Darren Ferguson? And if that's their opinion, then maybe I can sort of forgive them a little bit. But I personally don't join in with them. I agree with what Ashley said. I think if you're going to do it, it needs to be helpful to the team in the moment. And I don't agree that the players played better when that song was going on. I don't think that every time we won the ball and we're going, we won the ball, I don't think that spurred them on to keep the ball. I think it made them shit their pants and go, well, I better not fucking lose the ball now. And I actually don't think our possession was great in that period either.
We, of course, have this blue section that want to increase the positive atmosphere. And I don't want to take a dig at all of them because they, of course, weren't all there. But the drummer was there. And a lot of these chants don't go on for 15 to 20 minutes if there's no drum. Max, you obviously mentioned that it was better than silence. I'm not entirely sure that it was. I actually think that if they're not going to chant that, there are plenty of old Peterborough United chants that 900 fans can chant that just continue and go on for a period of time where the team hear you on the pitch, mocking them about whether they've got the ball or whether they've lost the ball. And like I said to Charlie yesterday, singing "We've lost the ball" repeatedly, you can only lose the ball once. So we've got to be factual with these chants, right? That was a mini gripe of mine. And I think that, like I said, is that if Blue Section want to increase and improve the atmosphere, I think that they need to be smarter about how they do it, because they're not going to gain supporters and people that want to come and join them if that's the way that they're going to be chanting. Away ends are very different to home games. And yesterday, although that was an away game, that wasn't the way to go about that. And actually, the flip side of that is, for the game against Blackpool, the GH is open. E3 and E4 tickets are available. Please go and join the blue section and let's create a positive atmosphere in what is a very important game for the football club again.
Yeah, I'm with that. I think I actually don't think there's anything inherently negative about the "we've got the, we've lost the ball." We've actually done that chant when we've been winning convincingly before. I don't see how it's different to the Olays. I actually think it's just fans trying to find a bit of joy in watching their team. And a lot of people found it funny and enjoyed it. And so, you know, boo-hoo. And also, I think the players, and I'm not being funny, if you cannot deal with someone singing "we've got the ball, we've lost the ball" as a player, your own fans singing that, if that's too much pressure, then you need to grow up. Because Jesus Christ, if they're actually going to go, "well, no, I had the ball, but then the fans sung we've got the ball, and I didn't want them to sing we've lost the ball, so I just got all stressed." If that's genuinely the mentality of some of our players, then we need new players, because I cannot deal with that. But what I would say is Fergie did call out how toxic the atmosphere was. He said, you know, it was the most toxic of, you know, away ends that we've had this season or whatever. But he also said, when he was then pressed for being asked, "well, do you think it was deserved?" He said, "yes." So I think he was probably just as frustrated watching the game on the sideline as well. I mean, that was a plethora of comments that attacked the team and the performance. I think, listen, I don't like the booing at halftime when you're 0-0. I think, you know, if you want to boo at full time after a loss, if we'd lost yesterday, you probably would have heard a boo from me at full time. Just a solitary boo. But I think we need to not get on the players' backs too early. Fergie sort it out. Was just, first of all, like, it didn't make sense because people were all criticizing Fergie and then they were begging him to sort it out. Like, come on, you know, you can't say Fergie out and say Fergie sort it out at the same time. That doesn't work. And yeah, I think it was inconsistent. I didn't like it either. I think it has to be, "we've won the ball, we've got the ball, we've lost the ball, they've got the ball." I think that should be the stage of progressions of the chant. That would be my only criticism. But in terms of the chant itself and the away end, I don't think it was as bad as some people are making out.
We were supportive in the second half, weren't we? We were singing some good chants. We got a bit loud, especially towards the end. And what's really interesting to me is, going back to Fergie's comments, the players coming over to the fans and doing the whole fist pumps after just scraping past Burton in a lucky win, and everyone's celebrating, and yeah, okay, we're happy for the 3 points. And then, judging by what Fergie said in his presser, they all went into the dressing room and got absolutely torn into by him. So what a contrast that these 1,000 fans that were there yesterday supporting the team are all praising them after the win. And like I said, Lisby did the fist pumps, didn't he? Collins did the fist pumps, I think Chioso did the fist pumps. And then all that time when they're doing that, Fergie's kicking bottles in an empty dressing room waiting for them to come in so he can shout at them.
Yeah, do you know what? That I think we've referenced it a few times throughout this podcast, is that that clearly was not a performance that Fergie had worked on for the last 2 weeks with the players. There was so much missing from the performance that he clearly wasn't very happy with. And it's all well and good. And like I think, Lodge, you said it all the way back at the start of this podcast, it felt like there was a hell of a lot of the fan base that were actually desperate for us to lose yesterday, so that they had their feelings justified, and that ultimately it meant that Fergie left the building. But if we've made the decision to not to leave after the Bolton game, I think that there's no point doing it now, because he's won the game, and the performance was good enough to get the 3 points. That's what I said at the start of the game or the pod. That's what it comes down to. I think that he was clearly very angry, but you know, sometimes it's a difficult one, isn't it? Is that he's not on the grass. He's not living it, is he?
I think if Fergie was raging on the sidelines yesterday, there was a man in a Florida mansion who was raging 10 times harder, who was probably throwing his TV remote at his screen and just in an absolute state yesterday, and that's Darren McAntony. I know he hates watching boring football. Like, I don't think he really enjoyed the Plymouth away game when we beat them. He said, and he definitely will not have enjoyed that yesterday. He will have been fuming. I'd love to be a fly on the, I guess, on the phone for that call between him and Fergie post-match yesterday. I think Dara absolutely hates watching that style of football, and he will have made that very clear to Fergie. And listen, maybe Fergie is wasting his time if these players aren't going to listen to him. And maybe Dara needs to take heed of the fact the players aren't listening to him and get a fresh, big, booming Scottish voice into that changing room in Steve Evans. I don't know. But what I would say is Fergie's job has to be safe for another week if he still wants it, because he's won a game. And that is the primary responsibility of a football manager, is to get 3 points on that board on a Saturday. And he just about did it.
Well, I think the only thing that we've not mentioned, and I think this is probably going to be a brief point, as this was somebody that just did not make an impact at the football club. Mendy, it sounds like he's gone back to Wrexham. He's had a very bad injury. It's just another one, isn't it? It's another training ground injury that's happened at Peterborough United, down at the Neame Park Academy training facilities. What on earth is going on with our training pitch? Kean Hayes, it was now. Mendy, we've had last season, I think back to Katongo and Sissoko. I know Sissoko was a warm-up, wasn't it? But I think questions need to start being asked of our physio department and our strength and conditioning team, because it's happening all too often. And these aren't like minor niggles. This is another injury that's going to require an operation. And Mendy's no loss. And I mean that in the politest way possible. We've not seen anything from him that suggests that we are going to miss watching him play football. But yeah, it's unfortunate, because now it puts pressure back onto Harley Mills. He's got however many weeks until Adebisi's ready to play. If we're going to continue playing wing backs, then there's only one wing back that we've got available to us, unless of course we play the dreaded Abraham Odo at left wing back.
Yeah, Fergie said that, didn't he? He said he's got plenty of options to play at left wing back if he carries on playing five at the back. I couldn't really think of who else could have played there apart from Odo. I know Kean Hayes, when he's fit, can play there, but we've got a few months left of him. I'm actually quite excited to see what Harley Mills can do here, because, yeah, it's a lot of pressure for him, but I think he can deal with the pressure. And I think not having an alternative just means that we're going to be forced to play him. And if you think back to the breakout season that Harrison Burrows had, where he got all those assists, he didn't have anyone competing with him for that left wing back role. And if you remember, to the start of that season, people were asking him to be dropped, and then people were saying, well, there's no one to drop him for. We persisted with that, and Harrison Burrows ended up having, I think, was he our player of the season in the end? Obviously, we ended up selling him for millions and millions of pounds. There's no reason why Harley Mills can't go through that exact journey. And I was quite sad when we signed Mendy, because we were denying Mills that opportunity. And I think now that Mendy's out, we might actually see Mills come good and be that Harrison Burrows 2.0 that we were hoping that he would be at the end of last season.
Right. I think we're there. Obviously, we'll be back. Countdown to kickoff on Friday for Blackpool. I mentioned it earlier. Everybody, please go and get some tickets in the GH display stand. Come and join me. It'll be great fun producing a positive home atmosphere for Peterborough United. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast. I said it yesterday after the game. I think Harry Leonard is better in a back four.